loving hands, open the ark and gently remove the Torah scrolls. A trusted leader reads the texts aloud. Our bones know we're being guided to respond to our errors and reveal more fully who we are and who we can become. A week ago today, sundown, commenced Rosh Hashanah. We're in the midst of the high holy days. We can call them the days of awe. This coming Tuesday night, sundown, begins Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. These high holy days emphasize the need for each individual to mindfully pause and take account of how they are living. During this time, we can focus on mitzvah. Mitzvah can be thought of as good deeds, but they are not random acts of kindness. Mitzvah are deeds done based in duty or commandment. The Torah contains 613 mitzvah, the most famous being the Ten Commandments. Doing mitzvah requires a high level of ethical behavior and commitment to doing the right thing. The ancient New Year tradition helps us to consider how we respond when people fall short, and we realize that we all can play three roles in the drama of life. First, we have all been wronged. Second, we have all done wrong. And third, we all have the ability to help in moving towards atonement. This effort can involve apologizing or forgiving. This effort can involve ending hurtful behavior. Beloved community provides supportive structures of care and respect to keep us coming back after mistakes and pain. The roots of our Unitarian Universalist living tradition are nourished by the Jewish tradition, where repentance can be as regular as a 3,000-mile oil change. And that is good news, because living a life burdened with resentments can burn out the spiritual engine. Can anybody in this sanctuary honestly say they have never struggled with the stress of grudges or grievances, including harboring them against ourselves? Atonement, at-one-ment, is coming back into our unity with God in the spirit of life, coming back into unity with one another, coming back into unity with ourselves as whole individuals. In the book Love Your Enemies, Arthur C. Brooks describes how Americans are divided by a culture of contempt, and how he also gives a lot of ideas how we can come back together. He defines contempt as anger with disgust and a conviction of the worthlessness of the other. Contempt is destructive. Numerous studies show that being contemptuous makes a person unhappy, unhealthy, and unattractive. Psychologist John Gottman identifies contempt as a destroyer of marriages. In the United States, two factors that are often met, when you say, what are two top factors of divorce in the U.S., many people, including myself, say money and sex. Contempt is right in there. After watching a couple interact for 1 hour, Dr. Gottman can predict with 94% accuracy whether the couple will divorce within 3 years. How does he do it? You might guess at first anger. And he says no. Anger, in many cases, is just a demonstration a person is in it and going to stay in it. If you're not worth it to me, I'm not even going to get angry at you. He says the biggest warning signs are contempt, involve contempt, and these include sarcasm, sneering, hostile humor, little ways of saying you are worthless. to me. And you're saying that to the one you should love perhaps more than all others. In our country, over the last years, waters of contempt have created strong tides pulling us apart. For people on the left and the right of the political spectrum, contempt towards the other side has become dangerously common. We're addicted to it. A lot of the networks, including the one I watch, which is mostly MSNBC, I think, can run on it. Sensationalist journalism, it gets sold in a lot of places because it sells. Too often in personal conversations, we hear people on the left, which is predominantly what this congregation is composed of, and people on the right, which we have some, and we have many dear, tender relationships with people who are on the right. Both sides say the other, they're stupid, selfish, or evil, morally bankrupt. Stupid. In Palestine and Israel for many decades, efforts to resolve the conflict has stymied some of the best international conflict mediators on the planet. With that in mind, it's daunting to know that studies show that in the United States today, a majority of Republicans and Democrats suffer from what they call in these studies motive attribution symmetry at a level comparative to the Palestinians and the Israelis. Now, I didn't know what that was, you might know, but what it means is contempt. For both sides in the U.S., and they're pretty big percentages, these are not 2% on each edge of the spectrum. These are tens and tens of percentages of our people. They think that if they give themselves on this moral scale of 1 to 10, oh, we're about a 9. We're very moral. They are about a 2. Both sides in America think that about the other, and that's what's true in Israel and Palestine. We need to look for stories that are real, of people more fully becoming who they are and who they can be. Go back to this story of Hawk Newsom from the Bronx, president of Black Lives Matter, New York, in D.C., at what the Trump supporters were calling that day the mother of all rallies. Hawk had recently been down on the front lines in Charlottesville, Virginia, at a rally where white nationalists had hurt many people, not the one with the car driving in the crowd, but a different one where Hawk was hit in the face with a rock. And he goes to D.C. with a group of people. He's invited up on the stage, and he speaks his truth. I am an American. And among other things, police have to be accountable, held accountable when they're wrong, when they do wrong. If you can watch that video multiple times like I have, he gets booed, he gets pushed back, but then a large number of people start cheering. Later, some start shaking his hands and hugging him. What previously had been two very separate groups began talking and connecting. Hawk has been interviewed many times nationally about what happened that day. He says, when I got off the stage, I thought, wow, what just happened? And he said, these folks afterwards hanging out, they were opening their hearts to us. They were offering me to come stay in their homes. He said, not yet. I'm not. Maybe we'll have a meal. I'm not coming to stay in your house. Now, is the story here of Mr. Newsom and Trump supporters representative of how it's been going at conflicted public rallies in the U.S.? No. On a whole, there's been much tension, derision, and too much violence. But the story certainly illustrates what can happen when people do not try to destroy one another or insult one another or even ignore one another. They paid attention to each other for at least a couple minutes. Deep down, we desire unity over division. The sacred texts of many traditions talk about unity and oneness. Now, various neuroscientists have documented how our brains are wired for connectedness with one another. Using brain scans, scientists have observed that connecting with others activates the parts of our brain that are linked to reward processing. By contrast, when we experience exclusion or rejection, the brain's pain centers are activated. We hunger for unity, and unity can feed our souls. So we should be asking each other, and people have a lot of the answers. You have a lot of the answers yourself, I know. What can we do to come together into at-one-ment and be our best true selves? Well, what happened there is one of the tips that a lot of people have is Brooks, including, says, make time to be with people with whom you disagree and open up and listen to them. Simple concept, very difficult to do. Where do you have that opportunity? Kristen and I have it with our extended family and some of the places they live in the United States. When my big cousin Eric, the ex-Marine, and I talk about gun control, most of the family have learned they clear out of the room. And we say, really? You don't? And they say, oh my gosh, is your relationship going to be okay? We say, of course. We adamantly disagree on gun control. But we talk and listen. Talk and listen. We try. Unfortunately, in the last years, I think during the Trump era, we have less contact because it's too painful. So we're kind of ignoring, which this is making me think I need to get back. Here at USG, we're committed to creating opportunities to be amongst people who disagree. In our difficult conversations, we brought people together with explicitly different opinions on abortion, immigration, and racial justice. I've been to a number of them, been deeply touched. One night, Jerry facilitated an invitation with a Catholic parish whose priest facilitated about 10 people coming over. I was touched to the depth of my heart hearing the compassion, thoughtfulness, and morality which folks had gone through. They were mixed on reproductive choice and abortion rights. Some of them were legally against it, some were for it, but it was so complicated and beautiful and human the way we listened. It touched me. We've been hearing that's been happening in the difficult conversations. People go away saying, wow, that was special to listen to people. Arthur Brooks and Hawk Newsom, interestingly, have their tip sheets of what to do, and there's a lot of overlap. So I'm going to attribute this next little list to both of them. Communicate with respect. Don't call names. All these things. And no matter what, focus on the distress you hear in the other. You don't have to agree on the legitimacy of the source of the distress, but you can say, I honor you're distressed about this. There's a tricky one. Adopt the 5-to-1 rule. This is used in parenting sometimes as well. Save 5 positive things for every 1 criticism. It can be tough. It can be, I just want to say, I'm grateful we're in this conversation, and I admire you for being here with me. And if you have to say the same one over and over, just keep saying it and make a sandwich. And then you can insert, but when you talk about this issue from that way, I don't understand because this is how I come at it. And then go back to a moral grounding. You hear Hawk did it. Constitution or the Bible or the golden rule or the thing your grandmother taught you the most about life. Go back to tell them that. This is why I'm upset because my grandma always said this. And this is not being lived out in America, and it makes me sick. People will listen to you in a lot of different venues for that. And one thing that's really powerful when we're asking for stories from each other, listening, sharing our own story, the good news on the spectrum, this really lifts me up. 2 things that show very high common value on the spectrum in America are compassion and fairness. So you can say, look, I know we both probably really care about compassion and fairness, and we see it playing out differently here. So let's listen and try and work out how this seems fair to you. It doesn't seem fair to me to this group of people. But that compassion and fairness are valued very highly by a large number, and that's real. That's real. It takes strength to do this work. It takes strength to step up. And in some, Hawk and the leader who invited him up both got called weak compromisers by others. You folded. Why'd you let him up on stage? We know it takes strength to make space. Our role models, Mandela, Gandhi, and King, have shown us other way. It takes strong people to be in conversation with others. So we need to keep coming back to each other, stand on the moral ground of all the teachings we have been taught. In Luke's gospel, Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For everyone loves them. But love your enemies, Jesus said. Then your reward will be great. How has something crossing lines touched your, the reward is great. There's a lot of focus on the police officer who was convicted of murder, white police officer killing a black man in his own apartment. There's a lot of focus on the judge hugging the cop, but the brother of the killed man came and hugged the police officer. Wasn't going to let it go with just anger and hate, you go do your time. We can come back to one at one miss. With atonement, Gandhi said, we can awaken the love that lies dormant in us. And that is a force that changes lives. Paying attention and participating can multiply the goodness. May it be so in our lives and the lives of countless others. Blessings be. Amen.